Good morning. My text today will be found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. If you'd like to turn with me in God's Word to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, my text will be in chapter 5, but I'll start at the last verse of chapter 4, and I'll read on to verse 8. So we'll be reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 to chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians 4, 32 to chapter 5, verse 8. This is God's holy and infallible and inspired word. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Beloved congregation, our belief in the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a mere intellectual assent. It is not a matter of having a contest with other Christians to see who has the more correct theology or who has the more correct doctrine. Who is more educated and schooled in properly interpreting the Bible? But rather, beloved, the doctrine of the gospel, of the free and the sovereign grace of our God and the salvation of sinners, according to God's word, is to be the standard that governs the daily lives of all of God's believing children. It is to penetrate and to step into our daily walk and influence the way that we view and approach our God, and the way that we view and approach our fellow human beings. And really, there is no book in the New Testament that I think exemplifies that principle better than the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, commentators have long recognized, is divided really into two divisions. The first three chapters of this book, this letter that Paul's writing to the saints in Ephesus, is heavily doctrinal. Paul opens up the epistle with a glorious and all too familiar declaration of God's sovereign election of sinners before the foundation of the world. And he talks about these spiritual blessings that God's people have been given in Christ. He speaks about the redemption and the forgiveness of sins that we have as a result of the shedding of Christ's precious blood, and how we've been quickened and seated in heavenly places with Christ. He speaks, too, of the engrafting and the gathering in of Gentiles into the family and the household of God, who were once afar off and alienated from all of God's previous promises that had been given to his people. They are now incorporated. And he makes it very clear by the end of chapter 3 that all of God's children, whether Jew or Gentile, if we were to put that in a contemporary perspective, whether black or white, rich or poor, Hispanic or Asian, all of God's people stand on equal footing before a just and holy God. equally condemned in Adam, equally guilty of sin, and equally loved eternally by God with an everlasting love, equally saved by grace. Amen. And now, when we come to the latter portion of this amazing epistle, Paul is taking those doctrinal truths, those truths of the glorious gospel of Christ, and he is bringing them to bear on the practical lifestyle of the child of God. And that brings us to today's instruction that I want to consider with you this morning. That is God's calling upon his people to be followers of God. Our calling to be followers of God. I want to cover with you, first of all, the meaning of this instruction. Secondly, we'll consider the manner, that is, how it is that we are to carry out this instruction. And third, I want to look at the possibility of being able to carry out this instruction. In the first place, it's important for us to consider what it is that the apostle is not saying here, what he does mean and what he does not mean. Well, first of all, when we consider the word follower, what does it mean to be a follower of somebody? Built into that concept of following is the idea of imitation. In fact, the word which is translated in our King James Bibles as followers here is actually the word where we get our English word mimic from, when you mimic somebody. And even the idea in English of the word following carries with it the idea of mimicking or imitating. If you think, for example, about somebody who is a follower of a particular political or religious or philosophical thinker, they are mimicking, they are copying that person's ideas, that person's way of thinking, that person's outlook on the world. When we consider ourselves as Christians and what it means to be a Christian, fundamentally, the idea of a Christian is a disciple, right? It's a follower of Jesus Christ. And embedded within that concept is that we seek to imitate our Savior. We seek to view the world as he did. We seek to live a lifestyle that conforms with how he lived, walking as he walked. And so the fundamental idea here of what the apostle in the first place is saying, when he's calling the Ephesians to be followers of God, literally he is admonishing them to be imitators, copiers, mimickers of God. Now, as I mentioned, it's important for us to properly distinguish what the apostle does not mean by this. And this might seem somewhat obvious, but it bears a teaching, I think, and pointing out. There are certain things that God's people, by virtue of not being God, can never imitate. These are what we refer to in theological terms as God's incommunicable attributes. For example, we cannot imitate God's work of creation. God spoke and everything that exists came into existence. God's people, creatures, cannot do that. When we consider God's attribute of existence, for instance, God's eternal existence in the sense of having no beginning and no end, God cannot communicate that attribute of his to a creature because then the creature would no longer be a creature, would he? He would be God. So there are certain attributes of God, certain characteristics that we are incapable of mimicking, of replicating. But there are certain characteristics of God that can be reflected in his children. And that's borne out throughout the pages of Scripture. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, the apostle, writing to his audience, quoting from the Old Testament, says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." When God's people seek holiness of life, there is a reflection in that, there is an imitating in that of God's holiness. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, in teaching his disciples, said, "Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful." When we show mercy, we are reflecting the character attribute of our God and Father. And so here we have the basis of the instruction given by the apostle. Imitate, follow, follow after, mimic God. And it's at this point that I want to back up just for a moment, and I want to ask, would anybody be willing to disagree with my conclusion, my personal opinion, that we have in front of us one of the most astounding instructions given to us in all of Scripture? Imitate God. Pause and think about that for a moment. You know, there are many times when I read through the New Testament, and there are a lot of instructions, a lot of practical instructions for God's people in the New Testament. And even knowing the truth of salvation by grace, even knowing, and praise God for this, by the way, even knowing that my eternal destiny, heaven and hell, does not hinge on how well I am able to keep those instructions. Thank God for that, by the way, because if that were the case, we would all be in very serious trouble. But even knowing that, there are times when I read the New Testament and I'm tempted to think, Lord, are you sure? Did you mean that for me? So that when I look at an astounding instruction like this, that the apostle is speaking to me, Tyler, imitate God. My first inclination, like the prophet Isaiah when he saw the glory of Jehovah, is to be, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Or like the apostle Peter when he beheld the glory of Jesus Christ in the performing of a miracle, and he was compelled to fall on his face and say, depart from me, I am a sinful man, Lord. Or maybe we might even be tempted to think, if we had a low view of Scripture, well, perhaps Paul's just got really excited here. You know, maybe he was feeling particularly zealous at this point, and he was just kind of using some hyperbole. And again, if we had a low view of God, well, this sort of instruction probably wouldn't be as intimidating, would it? If we viewed God as no better than any other fallen son or daughter of Adam, it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal to receive such an instruction. You know, it comes very naturally to a child to imitate the characters they see on television. It comes very naturally to human beings to imitate their favorite celebrity, or their favorite musician, or their favorite athlete. You can all probably think of several phases that you probably went through when you were teenagers, where you were probably trying to follow after and imitate all kinds of different people. It comes very easy for us to imitate fellow sinners. But beloved, we have a higher view of God than that. We have a higher view of Scripture than that. And so we are faced with the black and white instruction. Be ye followers of God. Followers of the Most High God. Followers of that thrice holy God that Isaiah saw. That God. Be followers of Him. Imitate Him. Well, one of the encouragements that this does give us is that since God is giving us this instruction, it does imply that there is something that we can do and we are expected to do. God has not left us in the dark. And this brings me to my next point, and that is the manner in which we are called to imitate God. And I think that really all throughout these entire two chapters, chapters 4 and 5, there are different examples that we can give. But I decided to start at the end of chapter 4 here because I think that it gives us a good example of how it is that we imitate God in our walk. I want you to notice here in verse 32, Paul the Apostle says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as dear children." And this really, if we think about it, this flows directly into Paul's point that he got done making in the first half of the book. You've been incorporated into the household of God. You are a member of God's family. Now, as children, imitate your father. And Paul puts the emphasis of this invitation squarely, directly in the truth of salvation by grace. Because God has forgiven you, child of God. Forgive your brother or your sister. You know, it's really interesting that the concept of forgiveness is one that permeates the New Testament, and for good reason. And oftentimes, it's one of the hardest things for God's people to bring themselves to do. But one of the easiest ways to go about getting better at being patient with your fellow brother or sister in the Lord, one of the best ways to get better and to work on forgiving other people is to look at yourself. And to look at the gospel and to consider everything that Paul has been saying up to this point in the first three chapters. That when someone offends me, and I would never do something like that. He really crossed the line there. There's no way that I could overlook that. There's no way that I could be reconciled. Did God have that attitude towards you? Can we think this morning, beloved, of times when we've crossed the line with the Lord? Can we think this morning, if we were to try to have a list of all the things that we've done and the ways that we have offended a righteous and holy God, all of the occasions when you may have grieved the Spirit of God through your sin? When we keep a gospel-focused approach to practical Christian living, it makes things a lot easier. It makes it a lot more difficult for you to snub your nose at somebody else and to look down on somebody else and withhold forgiveness and kindness and compassion from them. If we were to try to think about it from God's perspective, what thing did you do to earn this forgiveness? What thing did you do to move God, to motivate God, to send his son to die for you? Nothing. Does that tell us something about what our attitude towards forgiveness and loving kindness ought to be towards other people? Now, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul never says, by the way, that this is easy. He never says that it's easy. After all, we're being asked to imitate God. We're being asked to follow God. But as I've mentioned, God does not just give us this instruction and leave us in the dark, does he? And this leads me to my final point, and that is the reality of the fact, beloved, that it is possible for you and I to actually do this. Now, we're not doing it perfectly. Lord knows that we don't do it perfectly. And oftentimes, by the way, in your walk, you might think that you never even do it at all sometimes. You know, there have been times in my life where I've had weeks where I thought, I don't feel like much of a Christian this week. Because I said that thing or I did that thing, and man, I could have done way better than I did. And in those same times, I'll talk to other believers. Brother Tyler, I needed to hear that message. Or Brother Tyler, I really appreciated that thing that you did. I didn't even realize that I did it. The Lord is always using his people, even when in your own personal perception, it doesn't feel like he is. And that's an encouragement. That's something to keep in mind, by the way. The Christian walk does not depend on how you might be feeling a particular day. But it is possible. And Paul the Apostle, he grounds that possibility of us actually being able to carry out this instruction, this commandment, in chapter 5 and verse 8, the last verse of our text this morning, where he said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I'm going to submit to you, there's another absolutely astounding statement from the Apostle Paul Could Paul, how many astounding statements does the apostle have for us this morning? Notice what the apostle does not say. The apostle does not say, you were sometimes in darkness. Right. He's describing you and I before the new birth. Not you were in darkness, not you were dwelling in darkness or walking in darkness. You were darkness. That is speaking to the moral nature and character of every one of God's people apart from the grace of God working in their hearts. But now he says, now are ye light. Does that sound like a pretty radical change, does it not? That is a radical change. That's a change, beloved, that the preacher cannot perform. That's a change that no human being can perform. Only the sovereign God could effect such a change. And it is a matter of grace that you can sit here this morning and say that that is true of you. It's a matter of pure, undefiled, incorruptible grace, undeserved favor. So that now, whereas beforehand, as Paul says earlier on in this epistle and elsewhere, we were enemies of God. We were by nature children of wrath. We were haters of God, lovers of sin, incapable of imitating God, incapable of showing loving kindness from a heart that has been changed by grace. Now, you've been turned from darkness to light. You are a child of light, a child of God that is capable of imitating your Father in heaven. Wow, what an encouragement. Isn't that an amazing truth this morning that we can say of ourselves that we've been radically changed and transformed on the basis of everything Paul says in the first three chapters of this epistle? On the basis of God's electing love towards you, on the basis of the shedding of Christ's blood and the remission of your sins, the Holy Spirit of God came in at some point in your life and turned you from darkness to light. And that means you have new desires, new affections, and new abilities that you previously did not have. And the thing that motivates us, the thing that encourages us to exercise those new capacities is what Paul tells us in our text. Even here in verse 2 of chapter 5, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's the motivation. As God has forgiven you, as Christ has loved you, if you grasp those two things, if you understand the gospel of grace this morning, and if you understand what it really means and entails to say, God forgave me, Christ loved me. If you understand the extent of that love, that tells you everything you need to know about how to imitate God. Amen. About how to follow God in how you deal with your neighbor and how you deal with the church member that you don't get along with. That tells you everything that you need to know. Self-sacrificial, putting others before yourself. So I want to encourage us this morning. Let's give thanks to our God that yes, the instructions we sometimes come across in God's word, they can seem quite daunting. They can seem quite intimidating. But God gives you this encouragement. I've died for you. I've purchased you. I've redeemed you. I've turned you from darkness to light. You are my child. Yes. Now walk as my child. Amen. Imitate me, and I will give you the strength to do so.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Amen.